Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today. Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, just as Paula O'Reilly from the Hospice Foundation was leaving, she mentioned to me that some people can find that conversation we just had really difficult to hear. So I have the bereavement support line number here for the Irish Hospice Foundation. It's 1-800-8070-77. 1-800-8070-77. Some news to bring you, and I'm just getting this now. I haven't seen it, I haven't read through this, but I want to bring you this because it's extraordinary. The National Ploughing Association has just told reporters that it has been approached by the government to accommodate Ukrainian refugees once this year's three-day National Ploughing Championship is complete. The Assistant Managing Director of the Ploughing Championships, Anne-Marie McHugh, who will be familiar to so many of you, has told Joe McGreely that they were contacted around the same time as the electric picnic and they discussed the idea in detail. The ploughing said it would not be possible to take refugees because, unlike the electric picnic, they don't have campsite facilities on the site. These are commercial marquees. They've no dividing options. They're immediately taken down by the contractors, and the land on which the ploughing takes place reverts to farming activity immediately after the event and will have livestock on it in 5 or 6 weeks' time. But I suppose it gives you a sense of how acute the problem is when it comes to the accommodation for refugees. And in other news, retained firefighters have voted to accept a pay deal. These are proposals from the Workplace Relations Commission aimed at resolving a dispute over pay and conditions. Now, are you having difficulty passing your driving test? If so, you're very much not alone. Journalist Declan Lynch of the Sunday Independent recently passed his test after failing it at least 14 times. And I'll explain to you in a moment why we say at least. And Declan's here to share what he learned through that experience. You're very welcome, Declan.
Hi, Claire.
No shame.
No. My shame is so profound that it became part of the problem.
Did it?
Well, you see, once you've failed something like 3 or 4 times, you get it into your head that this is not meant to be, you know, and it starts to then become a bit of a phobia, and particularly in something that's so dependent on confidence and your own sort of view of whether you can do the thing or not, you know.
And do you stop talking about it to people? Do you stop telling people?
You do. But when it eventually comes up, the reaction is actually quite startling. I mean, people start laughing at you.
Of course. Horrible.
The most recent one, before I passed the test, the friend of mine seriously suggested I should do a TV documentary about it.
Yeah, so I wouldn't rule it out even now.
I mean, if you've got something wrong in your life and somebody suggests doing a TV documentary about it, you've reached a point there, right? A kind of a crisis point. I can't say why. I didn't consider myself to be a very bad driver. I think I was okay. I was quite a safe driver. I mean, it goes really, it's a situation of circumstances. We live down the country, so I kind of had to drive. Until I was about 35, it never entered my head to
Because
drive.
You were in Dublin.
Yeah. I was brought up in Athlone. I left Athlone when I was about 17, moved to Dublin, and I had no interest in driving. I was fine, right? But then we moved down the country. And I think the best way to describe it is our daughter is 25. And my wife's a really good driver. And she would be teaching me how to drive. And at the age of about 3 or 4, Katie, our daughter, said, isn't it strange all the mummies teaching all the daddies how to drive?
Right. You know,
she would see, anytime she would see a man driving with a woman beside him, she assumed that all
the mummies were teaching.
So in a strange way, I think I've given her some sort of a kind of a reverse role model. You know, she grew up with this sense that women actually ran this whole thing.
And she might be right. What happened when you got into a test situation? Did something happen to you that you were overawed by what was going on? Or
It may be something to do with just a kind of a personality thing, you know, you would be doing your lessons, and or your the instructor would say, "What hand signals do you have to give when you see a pointsman up ahead?" And I kind of knew what the answer was, but in my head, some part of my head was thinking, "What the hell is a pointsman?"
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Right? Okay.
Is that someone directing traffic?
It apparently is, okay. Yeah. You know, if there's roadworks or whatever. Now, I hope I'm giving the right answer here. And if the roadworks and there's a guy up like with flags or yes. something like that. That's a pointsman. But maybe it may be just a kind of a scattered sort of mentality on my part
and what,
or something.
You're supposed to give them a hand signal to show that you're going to go straight.
Yeah, straight or right or left.
So what do you do? Right. Put your hand out straight in front of you? Can you remember? Sorry, I'm putting it to the pin.
Going straight ahead, you sort of hold your hand up like you're taking the oath.
Okay,
right?
Straight up.
And if you're going left, you put your hand across your chest, facing left diagonally. And if you're going right, you kind of put your hand out the window.
Okay. Okay.
Like that.
This is all new to me, but my driving test was a long time ago.
Right.
I failed on the second. I passed on the second attempt. The first one, I was very nervous.
Well, this is the thing. You see, there are great anomalies around this that I would suggest that a great deal of people who are qualified drivers would fail the driving test.
Oh, I can imagine,
In a weird sort of a way, because I kept having to keep abreast of the rules of the road, I might be more in touch with them than somebody who hasn't looked at them for 20 years. Mm-hmm. There's also this weird thing that back in the late 70s, the legendary Sylvester Barrett of Fianna Fáil gave an amnesty to everybody.
That's right.
And just let
off you
all
go.
Have a license, right? They're out there mm-hmm. still. Mm-hmm. And people are looking down on poor L-platers who are diligently trying to pass a test, right? And often, I would think, you know, a bit unfortunate sometimes. You always see these figures coming through of certain test centres which have a better pass rate than others, right? And they're assumed to be wrong, right? I would tend to think maybe it's the other way around, that the ones that are 50-50 more are the ones you maybe have to look a bit at, and the ones that are more, say, 60% maybe, you know, we're not a different species up in, say, Cavan or someplace like that, you know. So there is an arbitrary level to it as well.
What I find fascinating is that you kept going and you kept doing the test, because I'd say plenty more would have thrown their hat at it at number 5 or 10.
Well, it's a story of human endurance that will live throughout the ages. I see myself becoming a kind of a Deepak Chopra type figure, you know, doing a road show, maybe the RDS, you know.
The entire RDS.
Yeah, I mean, Deepak Chopra is only telling you what the meaning of life is. I can tell you how to pass a driving test,
yep.
which actually is of some value, you know. So.
And could you believe you passed it when you did?
No, I was completely astonished. The word always was, I'm sorry, the news is not good. Most of the testers, by the way, lovely people, very nice, very professional and all that. And they would come in afterwards and say, I'm sorry, the news is not good. And this was completely programmed into my head. So when the man actually said, well done, you've passed the test. I'm still in a state of kind of shock about it. Elation, yes, but also a kind of sense of disbelief. I mean, I have the little certificate at home, certificate of competency, which I actually have in on my desk. I don't think it will ever. I'm competent at something, and it's there, and it's a certificate.
No, right? I'd be bringing that around with me at all times after what you have been through. You know what you said there about you knowing the rules of the road very well? Somebody who passed their test a long time ago probably wouldn't and mightn't even pass their test. Do you think there's an argument to be made for drivers having to do their test on a regular basis? I mean, we test our cars in the NCT test. We don't test the drivers.
Yeah, I mean, I think adding further layers of complexity to the thing might be just too, the whole system might collapse, just in an administrative sense.
Yeah.
But I do think it should be taught in schools, definitely, because one of the problems that someone like me had was that you just develop bad habits. Like there's a thing called riding the clutch.
Yes.
Right. Which even now I'm not sure what I couldn't give you an actual explanation of what it is, except I do it. Right. And I was doing it. I must have stopped doing it insufficient.
For that period of time when you did your test anyway.
But that's just something that can be solved if you're like 16 and they said, just don't do that. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once you get those basic habits into your head, you'll be OK. And most people are OK drivers. In fact, one of the odd thing is that sometimes the most brilliant drivers who will pass the test first time, temperamentally, shall we say, may not be the safest drivers. Yeah, so we have this kind of false distinction perhaps between competence at driving and safety as well, which is another matter.
Well, Declan, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Claire.
It's a good day and well done.
It's a good day for the world, I think. You know?
Declan Lynch of the Sunday Independent coming to the RDS with his roadshow on how to drive and successfully pass your test and how to endure. That's coming soon, no doubt. Now, though, it's time to go to the newsroom and to Brian Jennings.